namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Okay, we're going to continue, and by Krishna's mercy, we'll conclude Canto 10, Chapter 38, Text Number 11. And this translation is Jiva Goswami's, so it's a little different than what you'll find in the BBT. Translation 10:38-11. Jiva Goswami's commentary, Krama Sandarbha. He who creates the world by his glance alone, inducing cause and effect, who is devoid of absorption in that action, who destroys ignorance, difference, an illusion by his chit-shakti, can be perceived in the gopis' houses and in the forest by those persons created by his maya acting under his will and endowed with action senses, knowledge senses, and antakarana, the mind. This term antakarana is, I did some research on it, and it's not a common word used in the Sanskrit texts, but it is a common word used in commentaries by our acharyas. And my sense is it's something like the word atma, that is, it can have different meanings. It can, depending upon context, atma can mean this, that, and the other thing. Similarly, antakarana can mean this, that, and the other thing, depending upon context. And here it's very clear. It's being used as mind. Now, we read a few things. Let's go back to the verse. In the word for word, BBT word for word, dhi bihi is the Sanskrit in the verse, text 11, which means intelligence. Dhi means intelligence. So, sarvabhadi, antakarana, intelligence, antakarana, the mind, antakarana. It seems that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur likes this word also, and as far as I can understand, it means the profound, deep impressions within the mind that drives the inner workings of our life, antakarana. So different meanings depending upon context. So I'll read it again, because Jiva Goswami here is taking the verse, I'll go back to the BBT translation. The BBT translation seems to be speaking of just people in general, not what Jiva Goswami is here is rendering is the residents of Vrindavan. Now either works, and can, you know, so that, but the context is important. He's going to Vrindavan. He's in Vrindavan going to see Krishna. So he's speaking of the residents of Vrindavan. That makes sense. However, it also, because when the Lord, by his glance, creates the material manifestation, which is a combination of cause and effects, he's the remote cause, the original cause, by his glance. So that's everybody, not just the residents of Vrindavan. So here's the BBT translation. It's philosophical, so it'll end this after the end of this class, at least this particular verse. He is the witness of material cause and effect. Yet he is always free from false identification with them. That's material cause and effect. He's free from false identification with them. How does he do that? By his internal potency. Swa tejasa. Swa tejasa. His own tejas, his own spiritual potency. So commentators are saying chit shakti, his spiritual potency. Some references also made to yogamaya, his spiritual potency, that aspect of his spiritual potency. But by his internal potency, he dispels the darkness, that's ignorance. He dispels ignorance. So with light you dispel darkness of ignorance, which then produces some misconceptions of separation, like things exist separately from Krishna, and confusion. The individual souls in this world, this is general, not just Brijbasis, who are manifested here when he glances upon the material creative energy, indirectly perceive him in the activities of their life, air, senses, and intelligence, D. So all of a sudden D becomes antakarana with different meanings. So we're not going to redo yesterday's class. You can consider what was said yesterday. Here's Jiva Goswami's commentary from Kramasandarbha. Question: why is the Lord glorified? If he is so rare, if he is easy to attain, you should praise that. Response: Krishna is the agent in the creation of Maya, which attains ability by his glance. In glancing, ikshita, he is devoid of absorption in the task. Aham rahita. This is because of his chit shakti or svatejasa. The jivas, who are incapable of perceiving the Lord on their own, can perceive the Lord within all beings, sada neshu, in the form of the functions like prana, which are produced by his glance. He can be inferred but not seen. So you asked this question yesterday from Bhagavad Gita. Yes? He's confirming. Jiva Goswami. And then he makes reference to this celebrated verse. Well, difficult to understand. 2.2.35. By taking help of the intelligence, you can understand Super Soul, that verse. They're the steps by step by step, Prabhupada's purport. He makes reference to that. And he translates it in an interesting way. Translation: the Shanta Bhakta sees the Supreme Lord in all beings by the mercy of Paramatma. The Lord and the Jiva are inferred by symptoms, such as their observable intelligence, the intelligence of the Jiva and the intelligence of Paramatma, inferred. And how do you infer something? By symptoms. Yes? Like?
Conscious.
Huh? Yeah. Just a worldly example is, has anybody seen an electron? Not that I know of. But there's certainly a field of study of electronics, because they know that the electron exists because of its properties or symptoms, and it does things. And they can have them do these things, those things. So there's technology with understanding, inferring the existence of something without having ever seen one. So in spiritual science, the Shanta Bhaktas, this is Jiva Goswami, can infer by symptoms the Jiva and Paramatma, and thus they see the Supreme Lord in all beings, Shanta Bhaktas. Not Gyanis or not meditators, but Shanta Bhaktas. So, he then, to support that, refers to Bhagavad Gita 10:42, the end of the Opulence of the Absolute chapter, where Krishna says, Vishtabhyaham idam krishnam ekamsena sito jagat. With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. Next is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, where he writes, Akura thought, quote, no one can see the beautiful human-like form of Krishna in Nandagram. Now one can see the beautiful human-like form of Krishna in Nandagram. Whereas persons like myself perceive Krishna always and everywhere in his form as the indwelling supreme controller. The super soul witnesses the good and bad actions of all living entities, yet he is devoid of the false ego of thinking, I am seeing. The living entity, on the other hand, is a seer who has the false ego of identifying with his body. The supersoul, however, who sits within the same body as the constant observer, does not identify with the material body. So a distinction, Jiva and Paramatma. We heard some of that yesterday. Paragraph. How can we distinguish between being free of false ego and being afflicted by it? One may object. Well, if a living entity is situated in a body, he will encounter the unhappiness and confusion that occur within it. Just as a person living in a house, whether he be attached to it or not, cannot avoid experiencing the darkness, warmth, and cold that occurs within it. This objection is answered as follows. By his internal potency, Krishna dispels the darkness of ignorance, along with the separateness and bewilderment it produces. Paragraph. That supersoul, who, by his personal potency, svatejasa, has manifested the vital airs, prana, senses, and intelligence within the individual souls, that supersoul is perceived by these faculties as being their creator. Furthermore, it has been said, guna prakashaya anumiyate bhavan. This was referred to yesterday. It's taken from the prayers of the demigods to Krishna in the womb of Devaki. Canto 10, Chapter 2. You can look it up, text 35. Translation of that little phrase. One can realize the beauty of your form by the awakening of transcendental knowledge. One can realize the beauty of your form by the awakening of transcendental knowledge. So how does transcendental knowledge become awakened? By supersoul. So by that transcendental knowledge becoming awakened, then Krishna's beauty can be perceived. Supersoul can be understood by the mercy of supersoul. So just read that paragraph again. That supersoul who, by his personal potencies, svatejasa, has manifested vital air, senses, and intelligence within the individual souls, that supersoul is perceived by these faculties as being their creator. then he refers to 10.235. One can realize the beauty of your form by the awakening of transcendental knowledge. So, taking help from transcendental knowledge, which comes from super soul, one can utilize working senses, knowledge acquiring senses, and intelligence to understand and in that way infer, and that way see, super soul. Okay, so Sanatana Goswami writes, he creates by his glance without ahankara. So he is Krishna, the Lord. Creates by his glance without antakarana. Without ahankara. This distinguishes the Lord from the jiva. So jivas do things, but they're not free from ahankara. The Lord is different than the jiva. He destroys ignorance by his chit shakti. This distinguishes him from the jivan muktas. Jivan muktas do not have chit shakti. Got it? Prana refers to the life force of, or the five gross elements and sense objects. You know, more commonly prana refers to life force, but it can refer to the five gross elements and sense objects. Aksha refers to the senses. Aksha we discussed yesterday. It literally means eyes, but it's indicating the senses. D refers to antakarana. So, intelligence, mind, subtle body, etc. So here it's D refers to antakarana. The Lord is perceived by the jivas, endowed with pranas, senses or aksha, and the ahankara, dhibhi. So this is jivas in general can perceive the Lord through the agency of these three things. Since the associates, now that means Krishna's associates in Vrindavan, since the associates are not covered by Maya, they only appear to have attachments, as does the Lord, only appear to have attachments. By his will, tad ikshaya, this is a different rendering, by the way, a totally different rendering of the verse. By his will, tad ikshaya, using Maya, which has no power on its own, he manifests these senses in these persons. This means that by his power they act as if attached. That's his associates in Vrindavan. On their own, they cannot perceive the truth. They depend on him alone. The appearance of being attached is actually not true. Their loss of knowledge is caused by the Lord. Krishna may ask, why do you want to see me herding cows? It is filled with identity of ahankara. To reply, you are devoid of ahankara as the cause of the universe, of cause and effect, devoid of the concept of I and mine, destroying ignorance by your chit shakti. You are realized by people in the house of Nanda and others as if being attached. These people are accepted by you as your own, using their pranas, senses, and minds. So here, D is meaning mind or antakarana. Without serving you, without perceiving you, the senses and minds would be useless. It's like he's having fun. Looking at this from different angles. Question. Is perceiving him rare? Answer. His rareness is described by three descriptive terms. Even in one's house he is perceived by the jivas by searching for him. Ikshaya. What to speak of seeing him and not his house? The cause is his mercy, swa mayaya. In order to attain him by his mercy, he invests them with pranas, senses, and mind. Or, another rendering, by his glance, ikshaya, endowed with his mercy, swamayaya, he is attained without fear, abhi, iyate, by those who are created using their pranas and senses. And then he refers to moksha dharma. Quote, the person upon whom the Lord glances with mercy is understood to be spiritual and fixed in bhakti. Or, and this is the last paragraph, and tomorrow we go on to the next verse. Though the Lord is devoid of ahankar, and though he destroys ignorance, by his great power he glances, ikshita, upon the subtle and gross, or the low and the elevated souls. This shows his great mercy. The Lord is realized by these jivas, who are completely controlled by maya, when the jivas engage their pranas, senses, and mind. The activities of prana are bodily actions. The activities of the senses are various services. The activities of the mind are faith, etc. The end for this morning. So the other section that we were reading was like really smooth and it was really sweet, and now we got this really heavy philosophical text, which tells us a number of things. There was a question yesterday about, you know, which is more important, the in the pastimes of Ramachandra, about understanding his divinity, or is it more important to understand that the rasa, the joy or the sweetness he experiences in different ways with his devotees, even when it looks like forgetfulness, or it looks like this, or it looks like that. And for the answer is, for us sadhakas, it's a challenge, but we need to understand both. Because reality is, there's both. And when we become knowledgeable in Krishna Tattva, Janma Karma Chime Devyam Evam Yoveti Tattvataha, we become eligible to go to Krishna. And if Krishna so desires, he can cover our understanding of his transcendence, his opulence, his divinity, with just oceans of sweetness, and that, you know, that's his prerogative. It's not attempted by the residents of Vrindavan, let me close my eyes and not see Krishna as God. Then it's just, he covers them with that particular prema. He reciprocates with them in that way. But we're not there. We shouldn't imitate or pretend. So we're sadhakas, and we're to understand both. And to understand both helps us understand the flow of his pastimes, like how Arjuna, his eternal associate, got bewildered. So when his eternal associates get bewildered in Vrindavan or anywhere, it's his influence. They're not really bewildered, which is a contradiction of terms. But it's a transcendental situation created by his chit-shakti, or Yogamaya aspect of his chit shakti. And therefore we just glibly say, it's a pastime. And that kind of like dismisses anything you can't understand. It's just a pastime. But it's not discernible by sadhakas anyways. So it's not just a glib, convenient dismissal. It's a fact. And our acharyas give us detailed and refined scientific kinds of explanations of how it is, how rasa works. How that rasa is exactly a certain bhava or an ecstasy that just overwhelms his devotee by Krishna's wanting to reciprocate with him in a certain way. So, Akura has both. We heard the beginning of these, it's not prayers, it's his thoughts. He's in ecstasy, and there's varieties of ecstasy from beginning to end. Now, and as those waves of ecstasy move this way, and then move that way, and then move another way, and then sometimes seem to go back again. So, all the while, he, Akura, is not a Brijbasi. He, Akura, has understanding of Krishna's transcendence, his opulence, his divinity. He clearly understands that. And he's going to get a first-hand experience of how the Brijbasis don't understand that. But he understands it. So part of his reflection is upon Krishna's divinity. And in describing his divinity, he understands he's the cause of all causes. He brings about creation by his glance over his material energy. And he doesn't do that with false ego. This is like one of those multiple puzzles about Krishna Tattva. He does things and doesn't do things. You know, he creates the four varnas, but he's the non-doer at the same time. He does and he doesn't do. So we've discussed that. There's extensive commentary on that topic. But it's one of the mysteries of Krishna Tattva. So he's pointing to one of those mysteries. He creates, but he doesn't. There's no ahankar, there's no false ego connected. Although the living entities that he by that cause of all causes, creation, and the cause and effect, one of the effects of the original cause is the living entities then become endowed with, of course, bodies, but doesn't even speak of bodies. It speaks of knowledge acquiring senses, working senses, and this other thing, intelligence or mind or antakarana, you know, the subtle body, at least the gross and subtle bodies. But even the knowledge acquiring senses and working senses and the mind, they're all subtle. There's the gross instruments through which they work. Just like, you know, there was this Sankhya question, why is it that somebody that has their legs amputated is still able to move? And the answer is they have the power of locomotion. So legs are part of locomotion, but you can get a wheelchair and still do locomotion. Because there's a power that's invested. So legs are the instruments, but if the legs are amputated or whatever, there's still the power of locomotion. So there's subtle powers. The senses, working senses and knowledge acquiring senses have instruments, but the instruments can't do anything without the sense and then the sense organ. So the gross body is the sense organ and the subtle, the santakarana term. So that there's these divisions. Prana, which moves the senses. Anyway, so through these faculties, living entities can infer the existence of the Supreme Lord by by Supersoul giving that potency or awakening of transcendental realization, so they can understand, at least by inference, the existence of God. It may just be notional, but it may be more advanced than notional. It may be seeing through the eyes of Scripture beyond just a notion. So there's stages of realization and elevation of consciousness. So how does all that happen? The person that he's going to see is that person. And there was all this discussion about, you know, seeing in person versus seeing in the mind. So he was able to see in the mind but not see in person. Now he's going to see in person. Who? This is defining that person who he's going to see. Who others may by inference understand, and I'm going to see him directly. How fortunate. By his mercy. That's, you know, the greatest of mercies. My life will be then complete. It's part of his enthusiasm that's coming out in this philosophical expression of who it is that he's going to be seeing. Any discussion?
Guru Maharaj, there was commentary that to realize the super soul, one has to do that through the transcendental knowledge, which comes from the super soul.
Yeah.
What is that one should do to receive the transcendental knowledge from the super soul?
Well, coverings have to be removed. And the two main categories are sins and offense, or anarthas arising from offense. Sins and the reactions of sins, and anarthas that are the result of offense. Anarthas. So those two, by cleansing, then it's a fit place for transcendental knowledge of Supersoul to be manifest. And without, it's not a fit place. One can't understand. Here's a very nice explanation. The language is different, but the net result, you draw the line and the tabulation is the same. God realization is for the human form of life. And persons who are living like animals, no matter how much you preach, they can't understand because they're covered. Now, the preaching may help them become cleansed, I've been listening to Prabhupada explaining, like in six different cities at different times, the chapter of Varnamaya Shrishtam verse. And so society, human society is to be organized according to those four. And if one doesn't organize according to those four, then it's animal society. Your human life begins with that organization of recognizing function according to quality and work. So how do we question? Prabhupada wanted varnashram. How do you go about establishing varnashram? Yeah, that's a really good question, because different people have different ideas. You go buy some land in the country and start growing vegetables. And cow, you know, take care of cows, and that's varnashram. Some people have that idea. That's their solution. Some people have a different idea. And then there's different ideas. There's all kinds of different ideas. So what does Scripture say? According to Canto 7, Chapter 11, it's that Yudhisthira asks, how does one come to the position of Prahlad? He asked Narada. Narada says, by bhakti. But before you can practice bhakti, you have to become a human being. So it parallels that you have to practice varnashram. Before you can practice varnashram, you have to become a human being. Then he gives a list of qualities. So in Hungary, they spent really serious time for months discussing how to establish varnashram, a social structure that's Krishna's social structure that will help each of us, sadhakas, become real genuine devotees so that we can exemplify with the teachings. So, developing of qualities. And then comes, okay, how do you develop qualities? And then there's a science. There's a book, Varnashram Compendium. You might be interested to read it. It speaks of what are the qualities of a human being and how to develop them. So what they did in Hungary was they had a policy for 1 month, whoever speaks on any class, any in-house class, it's on this quality. It's like threadbare focus on, and everyone working on this quality. And then next month, that quality. Maybe it was a week at a time, whatever it was. So that one can become qualified to practice varnashram. Because when you begin practicing varnashram, then you become a human being. But you have to become, so this, the qualities of a human being to practice varnashram. So now all of this is circling back around to how do you get qualified to get transcendental knowledge from Super Soul, which was your question. You gotta be a human being. Because animals, you can't give transcendental knowledge to animals. I mean, it doesn't go in. They're not interested. They don't have the capacity. So to get transcendental knowledge from the Super Soul, there's the system, and starts with qualities and cultivation of qualities and following, recognizing your guna and karma and acting accordingly, and dedicating all of that to Krishna's service. Now, Prabhupada didn't do all that. He just, get in the elevator, press the button, top floor, let's go. And then after some time, whoa, we need more purification here. So therefore, the insistence in the final year or so, the importance of varnashram. And what varnashram was not meant just for people out there that won't take to chanting Hare Krishna and sadhana bhakti. It's for ISKCON. So it's not clear, there's not there are people, my understanding is, there are people in different quarters that have their group that they want to do varnashram, and they want to do it this way, and they want to do it that way, and they want to do it another way. But, and so responding to the question, how do we qualify ourselves to get transcendental knowledge from Super Soul? It's purity. How do you get purity? Well, you chant Hare Krishna. Chaita, Dharpa, and Marjanam, you get purity. People are chanting Hare Krishna, they may not get purity. They're making offense. So that's what our common understanding. So we'll try to come over offense. The Varnashram approach is not just the holy name, but how do I become a human being so that I can chant Hare Krishna in a way that's effective? Anyway, that's another approach to respond to your question. How does one qualify to get transcendental knowledge from Super Soul? From Bhagavad Gita, Dadami Bodhi Yogam Tam Yinamam Piyantite Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti. That's our standard answer. And it's not wrong. It's Bhagavad Gita. It's one of the essential verses of the entire Bhagavad Gita. So without bhakti being awakened, establishing varnashram is going to be next to impossible. But with bhakti, then establishing varnashram becomes possible. And thus making ourselves more eligible for knowledge from super soul. And, you know, etc. Knowledge, being able to understand Bhagavad Gita. You know, deeply. It requires purity. And then things can go in that otherwise didn't go in. We don't misinterpret or so forth.
Guru Maharaj, so from what you spoke, my understanding is just the, whatever the process that we are doing in itself is not enough. We have to come, we have to perform varnashram and become...
No. It's not that it's not enough. And all that we need, you know, from Chaitanya Charitamrita, all that we need is the holy name. And for those that are seriously chanting the holy name, they'll draw from the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam to give direction to their life. So as their heart is becoming cleansed, they'll know what it looks like and how to do it. So purity, that's sufficient. Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojata Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam. So just Jnanam Cha, Yadahaitakam. You don't read Bhagavad Gita, don't read Srimad Bhagavatam, just, you know, become a pure devotee. So we take help from those other transcendental sound vibrations that will help us. Now you go down further. Part of the transcendental vibration is the Varnashram system. That is, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not the essence. But we don't trash it because it's not the essence. It gives a picture of what a life of transcendence looks like the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, pure devotees. And they had different varnas and ashrams. But in pure devotion, for example. So it's not, what we're doing now is insufficient, and we need to like take a postage stamp and put a postage stamp on the envelope, and then it'll get to its destination. Not like that.
So we are in Grihastashram, right?
Huh?
We are in Grihastashram. Yeah. I don't know why there is so much discussion about Varnashram system. You said in Hungary they
are... Well, it's there's discussion about it because Prabhupada wanted it. And then what is it that he wanted and how to do it? Those are the two questions. And there's a lot of voices out there saying what he wanted and how to do it. But there's discussion because Prabhupada wanted it. And Prabhupada wanted it for us. It's a little bit like, you know, the Anarjana Vritti comes about from Bhajana Kriya, not that our program is to become Anarjana Vritti conscious. Our program is to become Krishna conscious, and it's a byproduct. So there are things that are supportive to becoming Krishna conscious, and this is one of them. But it's not the essence, it's supportive. Just like, you know, every day I take vitamin D. And I sit out in the sun because according to what Ayurveda says and according to what Western medicine says, the best source of vitamin D is sunshine. So health helps Krishna consciousness. Or poor health becomes makes executing Krishna consciousness more difficult, troublesome. I can practice Krishna consciousness if, you know, in a deathbed. Bad health. But we do things that help promote Krishna consciousness. Take vitamin D. And I don't take it through, you know, like we used to, is cod liver oil put in milk. That was when I was a kid. That's how vitamin D milk was cod, fish, liver, oil. That was America. vitamin D milk. So I don't do that. But plant extract. So anyway, so that's a deviation. We do things because it's beneficial for our Krishna consciousness. It's not like I can't become Krishna conscious if you don't establish for an ashram in my grahastha life. Okay?
And then I just wanted to see whether my understanding is right on the Jivan Mukta. Jivan Mukta means Brahmabhuta stage,
yes.
Brahman platform, so
correct.
That is why they don't have the Chit Shakti.
Yeah, they had to get to the stage of Jivan Mukta or Brahmabhuta. But Krishna doesn't have to get to anything. That's the distinction.
And then, sorry, one more question. This is from yesterday's class. I left halfway. So there was a discussion about Krishna. If Krishna has a body, that means there must be false ego. And, you know, there are presentations by our Acharya saying that no, because he dispels that through his internal potency. So it's not a question, but just a parallel understanding from Bhagavad Gita, 4th chapter, 6th verse, Ajopisan Avyayatma Bhutanam Vishwaropisan. In that itself, the answer is there that Krishna says, Prakritim Swam Adhishtaya Sambhavam. So it's a transcendental, his
yeah.
body is transcendental.
Yes. Bhagavatam is not different from, it's the same as Bhagavad Gita. It's just expanding.
Yes.
In explaining in different ways fundamental understandings of Bhagavad Gita. So yes, you're right.
Okay.
Anything else? Yeah?
When we say purification, or we also hear the Klesha Agni in nectar devotion, Klesha Agni,
I'm listening.
So it's basically it's the eradication of the sinful reactions, Guru Maharaj. That's like as per today's discussion.
But I'm not sure what you're asking, but I think the answer, I think if I do understand your question, the answer is yes. That is asking your question in a different way. Is chanting of Hare Krishna and performing devotional service, does it result in eradication of sins, which in turn brings suffering? Is that what we're supposed to understand from nectar devotion? That's your question?
Kind of, in a sense, like we hear that and we get purification and when we are practicing devotional service. So like, what is this purification means? Is it the eradication of sinful reactions? Because in nectar
devotion... Well, there's other forms of purification that come from chanting, besides eradication of sinful reactions. Specifically, klesha means sufferings. And sufferings are diminished, and sufferings may come for different reasons besides sinful reactions. So it's more than that. Then answer your question? Okay.
Maharaj, it is a little bit complicated for me to even explain what am I asking, but I'll try, Maharaj. So, like it was covered that Jiva experiences changes in the body just like a person living in the house. Like in the house he can feel the heat and cold. So similarly Jiva also experiences that in the body. So my question is when one gets a is it possible to get the have the transcendental body in this lifetime? And does at that time Jiva doesn't experience all those things being in the body?
Yes to the first one and no to the second one. When you become Krishna conscious, you don't become unconscious.
Hmm.
You don't identify. If you hit your finger with a hammer and you're Krishna conscious. Will you feel it? You don't become unconscious. Become Krishna conscious.
So that means that doesn't affect the same way.
Okay. The neurons are still doing what neurons do. The C fibers are firing, according to medical science.
Thank you.
You have something else? You have something else or no?
No, no.
Okay. Then come up front here.
Question from Uttama Bhakta Prabhu. In pure stage, does subtle dissolve completely or it becomes spiritualized? If spiritualized, does it mean there is all the three elements of subtle body in the spiritual body in pure form? Sometimes Srila Prabhupada uses Brahma Bhuta stage as pure bhakti stage. In chapter 18, Bhagavad Gita verse, it's being used as a stage preceding to pure stage. Are both okay? Kindly clarify.
Well, when the sun rises, it rises gradually. And similarly, the spiritualizing of the subtle body is a stage, and the dissolving of the spiritual body is another stage. So that's one part of his response to his question. But when there is a spiritual body, it's a little bit like the earlier question of, do we not experience the sensations of the body and the mind? We can experience them. A really nice example is the example of Jed Barrett. And when Jed Barrett was insulted by King Rahugana, he felt something in his mind. He felt hurt by harsh words. Now, we know that Jed Barrett was an Uttama Adhikari personality. He had taken birth as a deer and then as Jed Barrett because he had made a conscious choice to desist from his bhakti practices. But he had learned his lesson and was not going to make the same mistake again. He was on the Uttama platform. You know, like his question of having a fully spiritual body. So he went back to Godhead after his life as Jed Barrett. He was already there even in his body as Jed Barrett. Still, he felt something. And very quickly, Supersoul adjusted that, just like your question of, you know, being qualified for transcendental knowledge from Supersoul. Supersoul quickly adjusted that. And he was no longer, feeling. And so instead, he gave, very kindly, he gave spiritual instruction to King Rahugana. Not in this position of, feeling hurt by his harsh words. But just from a fully transcendental position. So, there's an example from scripture of, and there's others, of one who is transcendental, feeling something, and having it completely realigned and readjusted, something like 931 Bhagavad Gita, Chipram Bhavati Dharmatma, Krishna very quickly corrects his pure devotee who may become deviated or influenced in some way. So I'm not sure that addresses Uttama Bhakta's question. If it doesn't, he can send in another text to clarify. That's it? Prabhupada ki jai.